Well, friends, as we continue on in our journey through the Gospel of Matthew, we're turning to the 22nd chapter. We're going to read a parable in the first 14 verses there that I think the technical term is, it's a doozy. So buckle up your seatbelts, right? It's important, I think, to keep in mind here just the context of what's going on in the story. Jesus is actually telling a number of parables in a row. But the immediate context is Jesus had entered Jerusalem for the last time, and he had just overturned the tables in the temple, the money changers, and thrown out those selling offerings. And interestingly, in the Gospel of Matthew, there's this weird detail that it says he does this, in essence, so that the blind and the lame can come in, and then he can heal them. And Jesus leaves, and then he comes back into the temple the next day, and he gets questioned by the chief priests and the elders of the people about the authority that he has to do these things. And in response, he teaches a number of stories, including the one we have before us today. So let us listen for the word of the Lord, shall we? Jesus responded by speaking again in parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding party for his son. He sent his servants to call those invited to the wedding party, but they didn't want to come. Again, he sent other servants and said to them, "Tell those who have been invited, look, the meal is all prepared. I've butchered the oxen and the fatted cattle. Now everything is ready. Come to the wedding party." But they paid no attention and went away, some to their fields and others to their businesses. The rest of them grabbed the servants, abused them, and killed them. Well, the king was angry. He sent his soldiers to destroy those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding party is prepared, but those who were invited weren't worthy. Therefore, go to the roads on the edge of town and invite everybody you find to the wedding party." Then those servants went to the roads and gathered everyone they found, both the evil and the good. The wedding party was full of guests. Now, when the king came in and saw the guests, he spotted one man who wasn't wearing wedding clothes. He said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" But he was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, "Tie his hands and feet and throw him out into the farthest darkness. People there will be weeping and grinding their teeth. Many people are invited, but few people are chosen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Holy God, we would ask that you would speak to us once again in this moment through these sacred stories that you have to teach us about yourself and about your kingdom. May our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds be opened to what you have to say to us today so that we might turn and be healed. Amen. Sometimes, friends, Jesus gives us some real head scratchers. Well, what do I mean by the head scratcher? Well, let's just recap the parable for a second. So Jesus is telling a story that he says is like the kingdom of heaven. Now keep in mind, the kingdom of heaven isn't referring to heaven as though that place we often think about that we go to when we die. For Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is the reign of God right here and right now. The very first words out of his mouth when he begins his ministry is, "Repent, turn around, change your mind, change your heart, change your lives, change the way you see the world, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The reign of God is right here, right now. So he tells this story about the reign of God right here and right now, and it's like a king who throws a wedding banquet for his son, but the first people invited don't want to come. And then some, as though it takes a weird twist really quickly, some even take the servants and abuse them and kill them. And if that wasn't strange enough, the king, who at first is, you know, high on life, throwing a wedding banquet for his son, decides to kill those murderers and, on top of that, burn down their entire city. But then, as though the king is kind of manic or changes his mind frequently, all of a sudden he turns around and he decides, all right, fine, let's invite everybody. He becomes very gracious. So go into the streets, to the farthest ends of the city, into the poorest places in town, into the alleys, and invite everybody. And so everybody comes, both the evil and the good. But then when the king goes in to observe his guests at the party, he finds one guy not wearing the right clothes, and he binds him hands and foot and has him thrown out into utter darkness where he's going to spend the rest of his life crying. It's kind of a roller coaster of a parable. This is what I mean by the head scratching bit. So let's go back and examine the different pieces of the parable. The first part is this invitation to come to the wedding, but the initial guests don't want to come. Now, some scholars will remark that this is the Jerusalem's rejection of Jesus as the Messiah. And so, as justification, after Jesus has died, the Roman soldiers will eventually come in the year 70 AD and destroy Jerusalem and the temple included. But the only problem with that is it seems to contradict the Jesus who, dying from the cross, says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. So maybe there's something else strange going on here. Suppose maybe it's not this open rejection like they don't like the king, because keep in mind, if you're going to not come to the king's wedding, it's not like choosing to not go to that second cousin twice removed on your stepfather's side of the family that you just feel like, I don't want to drive the 6 hours and get a hotel room just to go to this wedding with people I don't really know, right? You are refusing an invitation to go to the king's son's wedding. And to not go to that would be maybe an act of rebellion against the kingdom. But I would say even more than that, or maybe the initial response would just be a really absurd thing to do. This is going to be the party of the century. Why would you not go to this party? I would choose another time to revolt if I were you, right? I mean, so come on, give me your favorite band. What? The Beatles. Okay, the Beatles. And give me your favorite restaurant. What? Red Lobster, why not? Okay, so let's just suppose for a moment that, what was that big royal wedding that happened a while ago? Was it Prince Harry or Henry? What's his name? Harry, it is Harry. Harry and Meghan Markle, am I saying it right? They got married, right? And let's just say they held a lottery. They said, you know, we're going to invite 100 lucky Americans to come to the wedding, and all expenses paid. And so they send out the invitations to the people, and you get that invitation in your mailbox. And you're like, the Beatles are playing the reception, or I guess Paul. He's left, right? Red Lobster is catering. And then you look at the date, and you say, oh, it's just a really busy weekend at work. It's right in the middle of harvest. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. What are you, crazy, right? Are you losing your mind? Why would you not go to the party of a lifetime? Now, many people guess, interpret why they think those don't come. But one of the things that seems to make sense to me is, especially considering maybe the chief priests and the elders of the people, was that they were still living in maybe this merit-based system, that they feel like they have to do something, that living into the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, you know, involves us really needing to work hard and earn our way in. And they can almost refuse to just come to the party and enjoy themselves there. Why do I say that? Because of the second half of the parable. So then the king decides to invite everybody to the party, and we're noted that both the evil and the good come. Isn't that interesting? Because I think we still often hold in our minds, right, that there has to be this separation, that really only the good should come, right? Only the good get to be there. The evil and the bad, they're obviously not invited into the kingdom of heaven. And yet here it is, standing right in front of our face. Everybody is welcome. The only problem is whether you choose to accept the invitation or not. Or in the case of this strange guy, whether you choose to wear the right clothes. Now, what are we talking about here? Because I think pretty clearly, right, God does not really care what you're wearing exactly, right? If you can wear a suit and tie to church because it makes you feel like this day is separate or different or formal or important and it helps you worship, awesome. Or if you want to wear jeans and a t-shirt and flip-flops because it helps you be more honest or casual or authentic with yourself, great, right? God doesn't care, I don't care, and most of us don't care. There might be a few of us that, you know, care, but we have to love them too, all right? So just be nice with them. So I don't think that's exactly what's going on in this story. But sometimes the clothes that we wear do matter in a sense, right? I mean, can you imagine getting ready to go out on your anniversary dinner and you kind of get all dressed up, wear a nice shirt, slacks or whatever, put on the cologne, and then your spouse comes down and they're wearing a hoodie and sweatpants, and you say, "You're not going to wear that, are you?" Have you had this moment at home, maybe with spouse, maybe with even kids, right? So you're going to a particular event and you have to say, Wait, you're not going to wear that, are you? Here the Episcopalian priest, Robert Capone, I'm not sure how to say his last name, says that in this parable we have to insert a detail. It's as though the king, when he decides to invite everybody from the streets, decides to open his own royal wardrobe. Because there's no way that anybody, right, wearing wedding garments to this feast. So he decides to open his royal wardrobe so people can pick whatever they want to wear. But for some reason, there's this one guy who decides not to participate and put on the royal garments. It's like if you and I were going to go to a wedding, and it's like the most beautiful wedding you've ever been to. And the celebration of the love between the couple is just like magnificent, and it's in the air. And the band is just wonderful, and the preacher is spot on, and everybody is so caught up in the moment. In fact, even the caterer is stunned by how beautiful the moment is, that the meat just gets a little bit dry. But at the reception, the party flows in, and everybody's just having a great time, and nobody cares that the meat's dry, and nobody even notices, except for there's one guy at the table who's not having a good time, and you know what the only thing he can talk about is? How dry the meat is. Or in another sense, I actually was on vacation last week. It was great. I was able to relax a little bit, have a good time with my family. Didn't exercise at all, probably ate way too much, which for me is kind of hard to do. So then I was back at it this week, and I went to go work out at the Sportsplex, and I was feeling like I had like concrete like tied to my feet, and I was like trying to run around. I just was pretty miserable about the whole thing. And it actually was interesting because it kind of struck me as I looked around. I kind of felt like everybody was a little bit miserable being there, having to work out, going through all the pain in their bodies. And in fact, it was spring break week too, so there are even parents there that were dropping off their kids for some programming, and the parents look a little stressed out as well from having their kids home every day. And everybody was just kind of in this weird mood. And I remember as I was running around the track that they have there, that all of a sudden I spotted ahead of me these two people, and they were wearing kind of like hoodie and jeans, and not like the exercising kind of hoodie and jeans, but they kind of stood out, differently. And I was running, and as I got closer, I noticed that one of the guys was like kind of dancing, he was just kind of having a good time, like walking around the track. And as I got even a little bit closer yet, I could hear him singing, like he was actually singing whatever was in the headphones there. Na, 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 na. And then as I got closer, I noticed that it wasn't words that he was singing, he was just kind of like blurting out things, na, 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 na. And then as I passed by, I noticed that he actually has probably some sort of mental handicap in some way. And the guy next to him was his his caretaker that had brought him to the Sportsplex for the day. And you could tell that the caretaker also was not amused by this behavior. And I was running by it, and I just loved the face of the joy, utter joy that he had in being there. And then I kept running, of course, and soon after I passed these guys, I was just out of gas, and I stopped, and I started walking again. And it wasn't very long, 30 seconds, a minute later, and all of a sudden that same guy that was singing and dancing, it's like all of a sudden it dawned on him, like what people are supposed to do on this track, and so he starts running as fast as he can, like down the track, right? And he just has this look of joy on his face, and he even turns around and he's like pointing at his caretaker, like, "You're never going to catch me!" like Everybody there was miserable. And this guy was having the time of his life. Friends, I wonder what kind of image we hold about the reign of God right here and right now in our world. Because sometimes I think we have the image of like a courtroom where our good deeds and bad deeds are getting weighed out. Or sometimes we have the image of a battlefield against good and evil. Life and death, or even an image of a boat. I've heard of, you better get in the boat to be saved, otherwise you're going to drown and die. But Jesus chooses to tell a different kind of, or gives a different kind of image for the kingdom of God, the reign of God, right here and right now. A wedding banquet. A wedding banquet for the king's son. The party of the century. And so I ask you to think about this. Is it possible that you could be at the wedding banquet and not be living in joy? Is it possible that you could be eating, drinking, walking around, sitting next to people, and not really be alive? Maybe the question we need to hear for ourselves this morning is, you're not going to wear that to the party, are you? You're not going to bring that attitude to the kingdom of God, are you? As the parable concludes, everybody is invited, but few realize that they're really there. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you even to take a moment and think about that question that is on the front of your bulletin. What are you wearing?